Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Adam Vingan here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Adam, what's going on? Thanks for joining us this morning.
Rex Road, what's your favorite Air Bud movie? Is it Air Bud Golden Retriever, Air Bud Seventh Inning Fetch?
Oh, that's a good one. I forgot
the
about that
original Air Bud. I looked this up before I came in here.
It's Seventh Inning Fetch. Wow. Yes. I've never seen 1 second of an Air Bud movie. Like, how many are there?
There's like three or four.
At least three or four. Maybe five.
No, there's like a lot. There's like six or seven, I think.
Is that right?
Is there that many?
They got the puppy ones now. I got younger sisters. They've watched them all.
There was also Air Bud.
Is there like a new generation Air Bud?
Air Bud World Pup. It's the one where you play soccer.
Wow. I've seen none of that. Also, no Space Jam. Either Space Jam. Never. No.
I have yet to
watch
the new Space Jam. It's on the list just because I feel like I have to. The original Space Jam, it doesn't hold up. It was great when it came out. It doesn't hold up.
I was told by a child who I will name, Brennan, says that the first one is way better than the new one and that Michael Jordan is a way better actor than LeBron James.
Hmm. There you go.
What you buy the, that? I could buy that.
What is the best acting job by a NBA player in history, and why is it Ray Allen and he got game?
That's a good point.
I was going to say, I was trying to think of like what would – yeah.
George Murison in My Giant with Billy Crystal.
Didn't see that, but that's amazing.
Shazam, right? Is that the one with
Shaq?
That's
Shaq, yes.
Yeah,
I wouldn't put that in there.
No, that would be near the bottom of my list.
It's not great.
I've never seen that, but I would think that Shaq would be pretty good.
Not in those days.
Yeah.
I think if he did it now, he'd be fine.
LeBron was a better actor in Trainwreck. He was in that movie Trainwreck with
he was fine in that.
With Bill Hader and what's the comedian's
name? Oh, it's
name?
A great
Amy Schumer.
Yeah, yeah. Amy Schumer. I love that movie.
Yeah, that he was actually pretty good in that.
LeBron, you're right.
You talk about a collection of three people that get on my nerves. You just
Amy
nailed
Schumer,
it with those
Bill
three
Hader,
right there.
And LeBron James?
Yes.
It is a varied collection of people. Yes. Anyway.
What the heck do you have against Amy Schumer? Freaking hilarious.
I don't think she's funny at all.
Oh, my God.
She's an acquired taste.
She's like the Beatles.
Rex Rose is going to leave.
I do have AirPods,
sorry,
by
I gotta
the
go
way.
Get tested,
I am
guys.
Pro AirPod. Yeah. So
there you go.
Okay, that's fine. As long as you're anti-steal everybody else's charger and...
Oh, yes. And very much so.
AirPods or earbuds or whatever. Then
yes.
We're on the same page.
Yes.
Are we uncomfortably... This is an interesting... I guess this is how...
This is like, how it used to
like
be.
Like Darren, Donick, and Chase and...
Yeah.
I mean, this would be...
Got three people in the studio.
Except Darren... When was the last time Darren was in the studio?
He came in a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If I were him, I would never come back.
Willie's been in every day.
That's right. Adam Vingan from The Athletic on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road.
You're outnumbered here.
Well, you're outnumbered, that is for sure. Two members of The Athletic to my right here, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. And Adam, we are now 2 days away from free agency in the NHL. The NHL draft has come and gone over the weekend. The expansion draft has come and gone as well. I was gonna bring that up with you. How glad are you to not have to answer questions about the expansion draft anymore?
I am just glad that we got the boy Cali.
That was amazing.
For the rest of our lives. What is better? Was it the boy Cali or Sean Kemp's hilarious attempt at pronouncing Jonas Donskoy?
The Sean Kemp, I think, was better.
Wearing a shirt from Baby Gap.
Sean Kemp's been having good time.
I like boy Cali better, but they were both very good.
Very good. Very
when
good
they,
stuff
when they
Seattle.
When they cut to Kevin Weeks with Marshawn Lynch as they were about to announce Kelly Yarncroke, I got very excited.
Yes.
I was just like, how is this going to go down? And when they have the tribute video to Cali when he returns early in the season, it better just be that clip right
better
there.
Better be a lot of Marshawn Lynch in there for sure.
Yes. Anyway.
So now with the Predators 2 days away from free agency in the NHL, they freed up some money, obviously, with Arvidsson out the door, Ryan Ellis out the door as well. How active do you think the Predators will be when it comes to free agency coming up here in just a couple of days in the NHL?
Well, first off, I just want to say that the level of activity in the NHL over the past several days has been fun to watch.
It has been.
A lot of us who follow the NHL want NBA-like trade deadlines where you see these gigantic moves and huge contracts and notable players and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but especially Friday. But, you know, we think about the players that were moved or re-signed over the past 3 days. Seth Jones, Cale Makar, Sam Reinhart, Jakub Voracek, Cam Atkinson, Taylor Hall, Oliver Ekman-Larsson. I'm definitely missing a couple of people in there.
You got the big names.
But like, that Seth Jones contract is still blowing my mind.
Seth Jones of the Chicago Blackhawks, by the way, if you missed that.
Traded from Columbus to Chicago and, in conjunction with the trade, signed an 8-year contract with a $9.5 million cap hit, which will make him the third highest paid defenseman in the league, not this coming season, but the season after. He has a higher cap hit than Roman Josi.
What are the Blackhawks thinking here?
I'm wondering if they want to accelerate their rebuild, which I think oftentimes backfires on teams.
Become a more competitive rebuild, so to
speak?
Yes,
a competitive rebuild, as it were. I've heard that term before. But you would think that they still have Patrick Kane. Jonathan Toews presumably will be back after missing all of last season. You know, they have Alex DeBrincat. They have Kirby Doc. You know, they have...
And his little brother now.
And his little brother. And they and Seth has his little brother too, Caleb, you know, on the team as well. Traded in the Duncan Keith trade. So I think there's some danger in that. And I think the Blackhawks are a good example of what the Predators should not do in free agency. I don't think they should try to do anything to accelerate their quote unquote competitive rebuild. You know, I think, look, the cap space is tantalizing. You look at it, but then you look at the free agent market, and there really isn't a whole lot out there. Taylor Hall, he re-signed with the Boston Bruins on a very team-friendly rate, 4 years with a $6 million cap hit. They've done some good work in Boston in terms of signing, you know, big players to reasonable contracts. You know, Brad Marchand is under a really good deal. I think Patrice Bergeron is under a really good deal. Alex Ovechkin is expected to re-sign with the Capitals in the coming days. I heard Elliot Freeman on his 31 Thoughts podcast say he was thinking 3 years with a $10 million cap hit for Alex Ovechkin, which I guess would make sense. You know, Gabriel Landeskog is still out there. You know, it seems that he and the Avalanche are still working things out, but my guess is that they figure it out. But yeah, there really isn't a whole lot out there on the free agent market that, you know, screams, let's spend a lot of money and bring this guy in. I think the Predators are starting to learn a little bit that maybe signing certain guys to big contracts at long terms is not the right way to go about things. So I think they should avoid doing that at all costs, even with their own players that they're trying to re-sign, you know, like Mikael Granlund. You know, I think a shorter-term deal would be better in that case. But to me, I think the best course of action for the Predators, honestly, is just to sit this one out. Like, if you want to sign a veteran player, you know, to a reasonable contract to fill a hole, sure. But, like, go in on the kids this year. You know, make sure that you give Ellie Tolvanen and Yakov Trenin and Tanner Jeannot and now Cody Glass and Philip Myers. Give those players a chance to actually play and not, you know, sign free agents that are going to prevent them from getting more playing time. That's just my opinion, of course.
Well, and we talked about that the other day, too. I mean, a couple of the decisions you're going to have to make, Halla, Granlund, right? And how do the recent moves from this Predators team, how do you view that if you're Granlund? Like, to me, you know, Granlund has to feel great about his role here, how important he is here. John Hines obviously loves Mikael Granlund. I mean, he was awesome for the Predators ever since John Hines took over the job. But if you're Granlund, I mean, you're not getting any younger.
Right.
How do you view the way the team is trending right now? I think that's a big question with him as they move forward here.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting about Granlund is it's sort of like the, not quite, but it's sort of like the Ryan Tannehill discussion that you guys often have, that we here in Nashville who watch Granlund, you know, have seen a player that's transformed since the coaching change. You know, among forwards, he's averaged the most ice time. Excuse me. He's got the most points. You know, from forwards, I think actually he leads the entire team in points. Well, maybe. I'm not sure what Roman Josi has, but you know, he's been the most productive forward for sure since the coaching change. But from the outside, you know, you see a player that hasn't had the same impact that he did with the Minnesota Wild in the prime of his career. So what are you showing me, Joe?
I just want you to be able to watch us while you talk. Go ahead.
I don't like to look at myself.
I don't want to derail you.
I don't like looking at myself. I think that's sort of what maybe one thing that Granlund has to consider. You know, I think the opinion of him in Nashville is quite high. I'm curious if the opinion of him outside of Nashville is the same. Just because while the production has been high here, it's not eye popping. So other teams, you know, other pundits might look at Granlund and see a player who has not, you know, played to his capability. So I wonder if that discrepancy between how we perceive him here and those who haven't watched him since the coaching change regularly perceive him.
When Granlund's agent told you that the talks with the Preds were in purgatory,
yes.
What the hell does that mean, pun intended?
I presume that means that they hadn't really made any significant progress. And they have until Wednesday. I mean, they can sign him after the market opens, but if they want to get him signed before the market opens, they don't have that much time. You know, one thing that's been abolished in the NHL is that UFA talking period that was there for the past several years, where there was like a week? Three,
yeah.
4 days, something like that, where pending unrestricted free agents could talk to other teams, but they couldn't sign, which basically took the fun out of free agency because all of the contracts were basically agreed to before July 1st.
And were then leaked.
And then were leaked.
Yeah.
So there's free agents.
Right. Yet. So that process has been abolished under the new CBA. So teams can't sign other players officially, quote unquote, because you know that there's probably tampering going on, until noon on Wednesday. I know that Granlund likes it here. I mean, he clearly feels important. But like I said, I think there is some trepidation on the Predators' part after seeing how poorly some of these long-term contracts have gone lately to sign players to long-term contracts. I mean, Duchesne and Johansson, of course, we talk about all the time. Ryan Ellis made it through, 2 years of his 8-year contract before he was traded.
Yep.
Kyle Turris is on the books for 7 more years because they bought him out because his contract did not work out. You could make the argument about Victor Arvidsson's contract. So I think that's smart of the Predators to be concerned or cautious about inking players to long-term deals. But if Granlund wants a long-term deal, and the Predators are saying, well, we don't really want to do that. Here's a 2 or 3 year contract. Granlund, at his age, might want long-term security. You know, so that's the question the Predators would have to ask themselves. Is it more important to stick to your guns and say, well, we're turning over a new leaf here, and we're not signing players to long-term deals? Or do you risk losing a player who's been very important for them for the last year and a half?
We'll continue this discussion with Adam Vingan from The Athletic when we come back. Taking your thoughts as well on the Nashville Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, you're taking off for a little bit to go get tested for Titans training camp, so we will see you when you get back a little bit later today.
You want to take my seat? Are you going to stay there?
I'll take your seat. This is very awkward.
I'm going to lock my computer up so you can't fake tweet for me.
There we go.
What would be a good fake tweets for Rexroad?
I don't know. Anything with Air Bud, probably.
I love Creed.
I would say I love Creed and Bush and Live and all of these post-grunge bands. They're my favorite.
Don't forget Blink.
At Scott Stapp.
Your little Blink-182 in there as well. We'll continue the discussion with Adam Vingan as well. When we come back, you're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Marshawn Lynch at the Seattle Expansion Draft. Announcing Cali Yarncroke to the Seattle Kraken. Do we think that Cali Yarncroke has tapped in with Marshawn Lynch yet to this point?
No.
Don't think so?
I would like to see a buddy comedy starring Cali Yarncroke and Marshawn Lynch.
I would too.
And throw Sean Kemp in there.
Yeah, put him in there. I'm here for it.
I just have to say this. I I appreciate the job that, well, first of all, I think it's important to note, and this has been mentioned a couple of times, that although the expansion draft was aired on ESPN, I believe it was an NHL production, so the NHL had control over the situation versus ESPN. My mom was in town, and we were watching it, of course, because work, and she was just like, this is terrible. Like, she did not like the expansion draft.
It wasn't great. Well, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't help when every single one of your picks have been leaked before the expansion draft
That does not help. I thought it was clear to me that Chris Fowler and Dominic Moore had never met each other until they stepped on the stage to do it. There was no chemistry. I thought the choice of Chris Fowler was interesting to begin with because I associate him with college football. He also does he do golf?
I think Chris Fowler does a little bit of everything.
He does tennis.
Yeah,
yeah, he does. He is a utility player. Hockey, however, not his specialty. He called the Carolina Hurricanes the Carolina Panthers. That was fun. And then the Carolina Panthers turned themselves on Twitter to the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Carolina Hurricanes turned themselves into the Carolina Panthers. You know, they had fun with it.
Fun was had by all.
But yes, the boy Cali, that was among the highlights for sure, followed by, well, actually, I thought the Sean Kemp, Jonas Donskoy was the best part.
I thought it was too. Pretty amazing.
You've tweeted it like six times over the past several days.
I will continue to do so. At @RStanleyNHL on Twitter. So the Predators now without Cali Yarncroke. Ryan Ellis is out as well. Victor Arvidsson gone. So a lot of...
And Pekka-Rinne.
Pekka-Rinne as well in goal for sure. And they're going to have to figure out who's going to be their backup goaltender as well. We've talked about free agency and how I think you and I both agree. I don't think the Predators need to be all that active in free agency. It doesn't make sense to spend a whole lot of money, I don't think, in free agency. But one name that has been thrown out there that we discussed on Friday after Elliot Friedman came on Darren Donick and Chase is Gabriel Landeskog from the Colorado Avalanche. Now, he is the captain of the Avalanche. He has been a very good player for a long time. He has been an exceptional player the last few years, playing on a line with Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen as well. What do you think a guy like Landeskog could be worth on the open market? Should he get there and things not work out with him and the Colorado Avalanche? And is that even something you would consider doing if you're David Poile and the Nashville Predators, going after a guy like Gabriel Landeskog?
What's his current cap hit? Do you happen to know it?
I think it's like 4.5. Yeah, I don't think it's very high.
It was a team-friendly deal at the time. You know, Gabriel Landeskog is at least an $8 million player on the open market, at least, probably more. Would I do
it? Last year was 5.5.
Okay.
According to Cap Friendly.
Well, would I do it if I were the Predators? No, I wouldn't do it. And the other question you have to ask yourself is this: why would Gabriel Landeskog want to come to Nashville? We often think about that 2018 playoff series between the Predators and the Avalanche sort of as the coming out of the current Avalanche, because they gave the Predators a lot to, you know, they gave them a lot to handle in that playoff series, even though the Predators won the series in six games. And even watching that team, you could tell this is a team on the rise. This team is starting to get it together. You know, the Avalanche won the President's Trophy last year. They lost in the playoffs to the Vegas Golden Knights, who were, like, I think they tied for points in the standings, and the Avalanche won on a tiebreaker. Yep. They won the President's Trophy on a tiebreaker. So that team is clearly on the up and up. They just signed Cale Makar to a six-year, $54 million contract. Cale Makar is going to win multiple Norris trophies. You still have Nathan MacKinnon. You still have Mikko Rantanen. They have to re-sign Philip Grubauer. But they still have a very good team. Why would Landeskog, if he had a choice, choose Nashville? Like, what about coming to Nashville in their current state would be appealing to him? Because I can't...
Be the money, right?
Right. It's the money, but like that, it goes back to what I was saying. What's funny is, so four years ago, on July 1st, 2017, the Predators traded Colin Wilson to the Avalanche, and that was the year after the Predators went to the Stanley Cup. That was the summer after the Predators went to the Stanley Cup final, and the Avalanche, I think, had 48 points.
Yep.
And I remember talking to Colin shortly after the trade, I remember him being so excited about going to Colorado, and I just thought to myself, like, that team stinks. Like, why would you be happy about that? And he was right. I mean, that team was clearly on the rise. So sure, if the Predators want to throw money at him, sure, maybe he'll consider it. But it just goes back to what I was talking about before the break. What was the last major contract that the Predators signed, long-term, big money, that has worked out for this organization?
Roman Josi. That's about it.
Yeah, but he's only 1 year into that deal. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, he won the Norris Trophy in the final year of his previous deal.
Right.
Last year, he picked it up, absolutely. And look, you hope that Roman Josi is worth that contract. He is going to decline a lot slower, you would think, barring injury.
Sure.
Because he is an elite player, and players of his ilk can maintain a high level of play for a longer period of time. But Matt Duchene's contract is poisonous. Ryan Johansson's contract has not aged well, though, as we've talked about numerous times, it made sense to sign him to that contract at the time.
Yep.
Ryan Ellis's contract, he went and made it through 2 years. Victor Arvidsson has 3 years left on his deal when he was traded. Kyle Turris was bought out. You know, the Predators typically don't make huge splashes in free agency. That's not their MO. You know, all the way over here, I was thinking about, okay, what was the last major free agent that they signed that actually worked out? I mean, maybe Nick Bonino. Like, you know, he gave them good value over 3 years, I feel like. But
yeah.
But it wasn't a huge deal. It was 4.1 against the cap
right. For
4 years. But, you know, my sense is that it would be a stretch for Gabriel Landeskog to end up in Nashville. If I were him, I look at what Colorado's doing, and I want to sign up for that, because they're a lot closer to winning a championship than the Predators are. A lot closer.
Yeah, I would say so. And if it's not going to be Landeskog, I mean, as you said, there's not a whole lot of names out there in free agency. And you've come out with a piece today at theathletic.com kind of highlighting what exactly the Predators have gotten in Cody Glass and Peter DeBoer, who was the coach of Vegas, featured in this piece at theathletic.com with some comments. And I don't want to go through the entire piece because people need to read it at theathletic.com. But when you look at Cody Glass, who obviously was the centerpiece of the return for Ryan Ellis, mm-hmm. who was traded to Philadelphia, and the three-way deal had Vegas involved as well. What is Cody Glass at this point? He's sixth overall in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ability there.
Yes.
It's not worked out yet at the NHL level. He's very young, so you have to keep that in mind as well.
22.
But what do you think the Predators have at this moment in Cody Glass?
Well, you know, in talking to Pete DeBoer last week, and you know, one thing I didn't really realize, not watching Cody Glass frequently enough, is in his first season, he suffered a serious right knee injury that kept him out of the lineup for about 6 weeks. And then he goes to the AHL on the conditioning assignment and basically tears the rest of that knee up. Had to have surgery, basically missed the entire offseason of training. So, you know, as Pete said to me in the story, you know, he's basically a year behind. I mean, the injury derailed his development. And one thing DeBoer said, if it was a broken wrist or he blew his shoulder out, it would have been a lot easier for him to come back from that than a knee injury. Cody Glass has played 66 games in the NHL. So I'm not here to say this guy was a bust as the number six pick in the 2017 draft. There's still a lot of, you would hope, tread on those tires, even with a knee injury. But, you know, he has the pedigree of being a big-time scorer in the junior leagues, which doesn't always translate to the NHL, but he has that pedigree. The Predators have rarely been bad enough to pick a player of Cody's caliber at the top of the draft, and I think it's a gamble worth taking. You know, to me, I think the best place for Cody, and this is after talking to Pete, is being a top-six center and playing with good players. And one thing he said to me in the story was, you know, Cody Glass did not factor into the Vegas Golden Knights' lineup through most of the playoffs. And he said, people were asking me why. He said, well, you're not doing that kid any favors playing him on the fourth line. He needs to play with good players. So if Granlund leaves, to me, Cody Glass is the most logical person to play second line center. And you can play him with Luke Cunnan, or you can play him with Eli Tolvanen. And that would accomplish the Predators' goal of getting younger at key positions, because Glass is 22, Cunnan's 23, and I think Tolvanen's 21 or 22.
Yep.
You know, that would be a big deal. You know, that would be a big deal in terms of getting that youth, that experience. So, you know, I think it was a you know, reclamation projects are risky when you take on a player that didn't work out somewhere else. Remember, the Predators actually acquired Nolan Patrick, who was the number two pick in the 2017 draft from Philadelphia, and then flipped him for Glass with Vegas. And Patrick is in the same position. Patrick missed an entire season. He had, you know, concussion, you know, post-concussion.
Basically like symptoms, vertigo.
Vertigo, yeah, migraine issues. You know, he's young too, and they're hoping that he can bounce back. So I'm very intrigued by Cody Glass. I think a fresh start will do him some good. You know, I thought Pete's comments in the story were really interesting. So please read it so I make my bosses happy.
You can check that out at theathletic.com. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators when we come back. Got some of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic. We'll be right back here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 1025, The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Sunday, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Friday morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Adam Vingan in for this hour for Joe Rex Road as he goes to Tennessee Titans training camp to get tested for COVID. So those are the media protocols going into place for Rex Road to cover Titans training camp. He'll be back a little bit later in the show. Right now, talking Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Paul texting in, question for both of you guys. What do you think of the Predators roster as presently constructed? It seems like Poyle and Hines are building the team around the identity line, which doesn't seem like a winning strategy. And that is a very popular question right now, Adam. What is this Predators team? What does the roster mean at the present moment? Is it a playoff team? Is it not a playoff team? And I think more importantly than that, what is the plan right now for the Predators? Because we've heard the competitive rebuild term being thrown out there by David Poyle. Obviously, a lot of change has happened already this offseason, with some more changes still to come. What do you think the plan is for the Predators right now from their perspective, and does it match up, in your opinion, to what you think it should be at this point for the Nashville Predators?
Well, to answer Paul's question about whether this is a play, well, did he ask if it was a playoff team, or did you ask?
I asked that, but he asked about the identity line. It seems like they're building the team around that line.
Well, I think it was clear when you go back to the second half of the season, when the Predators won 20 of their final 28 games, and you look at the players that played a significant role in that turnaround. You know, we're talking about Tanner Jeannot. We're talking about Yakov Trenin and Matthew Olivier and Colton Sissons and Mikhail Granlund and Luke Cunningham, you know, Nick Cousins. You know, we're not talking about Philip Forsberg or Ryan Johansson or Matt Duchene. And I think it's important that this team has an identity. And I think for the first time in several years, we can tell what the identity is. Now, is it an identity that will lead to long-term success? Who knows? But at least it's there. I mean, there was a period of time where you didn't know which Predators team you were getting on a nightly basis. You know, were they going to try to be a skill team and score a lot of goals and make highlight reel plays? Were they going to try to grind out wins and keep it low scoring and defensive? But now you know what you're getting. So I think that's a step in the right direction. Even if it's not the formula for, you know, that teams that win championships recently have used. But, you know, I think about some free agents. I think about some free agents that are out there. You know, one free agent that I personally liked that I think would have accomplished two things. It would have fit into the identity of the team, but he also would have been able to play a top six role and be effective with Zach Hyman. All signs point to Zach Hyman signing with the Edmonton Oilers.
Formerly of
Toronto. And it hasn't been determined yet if it's a 7 or 8 year contract. It depends on whether the Maple Leafs, you know, work out a sign and trade with the Oilers to get that eighth year. I think, you know, all reports, you know, it seems that that's probably not going to happen and that Hyman will sign for 7 years on Wednesday. you know. But, you know, another player that's interesting that's out there, you know, that has a history with John Hines, who, you know, who has won championships recently and can provide a bit of offense, is Blake Coleman, who played for John in New Jersey and, you know, won two Stanley Cups with the Tampa Bay Lightning recently. I think Elliot Freeman had a blog last night where he said he thinks that Coleman's going to get 5 years times six. And that's, there's risk in that because Coleman's an older player. You know, he's, you know, on a, he's a, he was a third line player for the Tampa Bay Lightning, but that's because he played for the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's probably a top six player on a different team. But, you know, it's interesting because I remember I got a mailbag question from The Athletic earlier this month, you know, about going after Patrick Laine or going after Vladimir Tarasenko or even going after Jack Eichel. And, you know, the one thing that I responded to this reader was sometimes the best player is not always the right player. You know, Patrick Laine, we know that guy can score. You know, he's an amazing scorer. But he's indifferent towards defense, and it drove John Tortorella up a wall. Knowing John Hines and how he likes to coach, I'm sure Patrick Laine would drive him up the wall. So, yes, Laine would bring that goal scoring that the Predators sorely lack. But does he fit into the identity of what the Predators are trying to build? I don't think so. And reports out of Columbus suggest that he's going to accept his qualifying offer, which is 1 year, $7.5 million. Stick around in Columbus. They have a new coach. They just acquired Jakub Voracek, who will probably play with Patrick Laine. So maybe things will change for Laine. But that's the important thing. When you think about all of these, you know, players that have been on the move or players that are rumored to be available, the best player is not always the right player. And I think teams oftentimes get trapped in the idea that if the best player is going to come here and continue to be the best player.
So with that in mind, I agree with you. I think you said it perfectly there. I think a good approach to the Predators this offseason is try and get Saros signed, try and get Granlund signed. I mean, I guess you can try to get Eric Hall signed there as well. Get a backup goalie. You need that. But you don't need to be going crazy in free agency. So with that in mind, if that's the route they go, and let's just say for the sake of argument, Granlund's back in here too. Is this team a playoff team? Is the team currently constructed and you add Granlund to the mix, is that a playoff team?
I think they're a bubble team again. I mean, first of all, I went to the NHL page and they put back the divisions for next season and it threw me for a loop. I was like, wait a minute, Minnesota, Colorado? Because I was so used to thinking about Carolina and Tampa and Florida.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about the new look Central Division, which is basically the old Central Division, but Arizona is now in the Central Division because Seattle is going to the Pacific Division. And I was thinking about the teams in the Central Division and which teams the Predators are clearly better than. And there are only two that came to mind. Arizona, which is probably going to be in the race for the number one pick.
Yep.
And Chicago. Those are the only two teams that I can say the Predators are probably better than that team. Everybody else, they're either on the same level or worse than, because they're not as good as Colorado. They're not as good as Minnesota, I don't think. Especially if Minnesota plays the way they did last season.
Yeah.
They're probably on the same level as Dallas. They're probably on the same level as Winnipeg, and they're probably on the same level as St. Louis. Maybe they're slightly better than St. Louis. So, you know, they're in that middle point again. So if we assume that Arizona and Chicago are at the bottom, and we assume that Colorado and Minnesota are at the top, that leaves Nashville, St. Louis, Winnipeg, and Dallas, you know, for two playoff spots, maybe three playoff spots, depending what happens in the Pacific Division. You know, the Predators are basically this. I feel like they're in the same position they were in last year. Like, I think they're a bubble team. Like, I think their ceiling is first wild card in the Western Conference. Right now, if you just say, okay, they don't add anybody else significant, they re-sign Granlund, they re-sign Saros, maybe they re-sign Hala, they add a backup goaltender, and they ride with the youth. Like, to me, they're a wild card team at best. But sometimes, as David Poile said, you have to take a step back to hopefully take a step forward. And I think that's important. Like, this team has taken enough risks to try to win a Stanley Cup. This is not the year to keep doing that. If you miss the playoffs this year, you know, it might be bad. Like, when the team was really bad in the first half of the season, a lot of us, you, me, Joe, Jared, we were like, just tank. Like, the best thing that could happen to this organization is they miss the playoffs, because it will, you know, shake them back to reality that this team is not a championship. I keep hitting the mic. Sorry. The championship team that they thought they were. You know, the playoff run, you know, lulled them into maybe a false sense of security. But, you know, I think it was Jared who has said, I want this team to either be really, really good or really, really bad. And I don't disagree with him on that point. Like, you know, surprise, you know, shock the world and be a good team for some, which I don't expect to happen, or just be bad, you know, put yourself in a position for a lottery pick. And like, but, you know, right now they just look like a team that's, you know, mediocre again, which is not where you want to be.
We'll continue the discussion on the Predators when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan in for Joe Rex Road for the next few minutes, and Michelle Knezovic here with you as well. Talking Nashville Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So we've talked about kind of where this roster sits at the moment. Free agency coming up in a couple of days for the Predators. But one thing that's now on the table as well that I'm interested to get your thoughts on. The expansion draft has come and gone, and with that, the conversation of moving one of Johansson or Duchesne is now come and gone too, because unless I'm just totally wrong, I mean, nobody's trading for either one of those two. So, at the moment, you are stuck with those two contracts.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make it work? Because that has been something they've not been able to do the last couple of years. We know about Matt Duchesne. It's not worked out. We've talked about it ad nauseum. Johansson's had his moments. I think early on in the contract was very good for the Predators.
Yes.
The last couple of years
not so much.
Has not been the same in the regular season. But now you're stuck with them. So how do you make this work with Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchesne with those contracts as they move forward here?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all tried to warn you being the listeners, that the likelihood of one of those two players being taken in the expansion draft was slim to none. And I also would like to say, because we haven't talked, you and I, since the expansion draft, zero side deals by Seattle.
It's pretty crazy.
Which is in, like, we all expected it to happen. I think there were 10 in the Vegas expansion draft, and the Golden Knights ended up with the likes of Alex Tuch and Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith and Shea Theodore because of those types of trades. And, you know, and multiple first-round draft picks. I don't think Cody Glass was one of those draft picks, but I think Nick Suzuki was one of them, who they traded to Montreal for Max Pacioretty. You know, that was amazing. Clearly, the general managers around the league learned their lesson from last time, that they were not going to be held hostage by the Seattle Kraken. But the fact, I mean, and you might also have to blame the Kraken. Perhaps they overplayed their hand. Perhaps they were too greedy. But I thought it was interesting, because, like, that was the one thing that we were waiting for with all of the leaks of the expansion roster, where, okay, there's got to be side deals for them to take these. There were some randos, like guy they took from Philadelphia, who I had never heard of, and, you know, there were, and the guy from San Jose, Alexander True, I didn't think he was real at all. You know, sounds like one of those, like, auto draft guys on, like, NHL 22.
Yes.
No side deals. So, you know, when it comes to those two players in particular, because you're going to have to make it work. You know, I think it would be wise to basically, you know, put those two together, because we talk about them together, but I think on the line, like, I think you put Matt Duchesne on the right wing of Ryan Johansson, presumably Philip Forsberg on the left wing, and you're John Hines, and you say, you're our big line. Don't screw it up. You know, like, I think that's the best way to do it, is you need to put, I mean, not to say that they have not been put in a position to succeed. I mean, you could argue that Matt Duchesne in particular, you know, it hasn't been the, you know, there's been times where you wonder, you know, about his usage. But, you know, if you put them on the if you put those three on your top line and they don't produce, I mean, they have no one to blame but themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I would do, and see if it works, because you're going to have to make it work, because nobody wants those contracts. I mean, You know, do you even like the Predators would have? I mean, think about. We were talking about this during the break. We were talking about some of the draft capital that the Arizona Coyotes were able to get for taking on some bad deals. I think they got 3 draft picks for Andrew Ladd, and they got a 2nd-round pick and a 7th-round pick for Shane Gostisbehere, and they got the 9th pick in the draft to take on 3 bad Canucks contracts, Antoine Roussel, Jay Beagle, and Louis Erickson in the Oliver Ekman, Larson, Connor Garland deal. To me, that's a better use of the Predators' cap space than going out and signing a free agent. Take on a bad contract. Like, if you're not expecting to be a real competitive team this year, like a legitimate Stanley Cup contender, take on a bad contract. You know, get a couple draft picks. You know, what could it hurt? You know, especially if you're not expecting to be, you know, at the top of the league this year. If there are teams out there that have bad deals, you know, why not add another one to your mix and actually get something for it? Like, why not?
Kathleen on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Any chance of getting James Neal back?
Pass.
You think there's any chance that James Neal could be available?
Why would you want James Neal?
Well, it depends on what the price is, right?
Well, he's
got to get bought out first.
For all intents and purposes, he is expected to be bought out by the Edmonton Oilers. You know, could you get James Neal for $1 million? Sure. But, you know, James Neal has not been good in 3 years.
Right.
I mean, he had a 20-goal James Neal season in his first year after the Vegas expansion draft. He went to Calgary, was a non-factor, went to Edmonton in a trade for Milan Lucic in a change of scenery trade, was a non-factor. I know a lot of Predators fans love them some James Neal. And he brings an element for sure that the Predators don't have, you know, as a scorer with some bite to his game. But that was 4 years ago.
Well, I think the question you've got to ask at that point, if you're the Predators, is are you better served bringing in a guy like James Neal? Who knows your group. And I think maybe in this scenario, you might be able to get 10, 15 goals out of him. Right. Is that worth it? Are you better off doing that and him occupying a spot in the lineup, or are you better off giving one of those spots to a Philip Tomasino or a Cody Glass or one of your younger players?
I think this is the season where, to me, this is, you know, we're talking about a quote-unquote competitive rebuild. Like, this is the season where, and I can't remember who said it, whether it was you or Chase, somebody on the station said this, where I listen to so much 102.5, it all runs together. But all the shows are great, of course.
Thank you.
This is the season where you evaluate what you have.
That was me.
That was you.
Yeah.
Okay. Really rely on, thank you, Robbie, pat yourself on the back for that one. Take a hard look at Elli Tolvanen. Take a good look at Philip Tomasino. Take a good look at Jeremy Davies and David Ferentz. You know, last year the Predators got a lot of criticism from the fan base after David Poile talked about a youth movement, and then they signed Mark Borowiecki and Nick Cousins and Eric Halla and Mikhail Granlund. Like, don't do that again. Like, sign the guys you need to re-sign, and then just give it over to the youth. Like, see what you have. And then if you're not confident in the youth that you have and you want to turn over the roster even more, sure. But, like, there comes a point where, and I feel like they're finally at this point where they realize that this group is not going to win a Stanley Cup, which is exactly why they traded Victor Arvidsson and traded Ryan Ellis. Like, I feel it would be counterproductive to do all of what they've done over the past 3 weeks and then go out and sign a big name or a veteran.
I agree.
So, you know, I'm not in charge, of course, but I would just stay away.
Also, you know, you're in a good spot cap space wise right now. I mean, it's a flat cap. You know, according to Cap Friendly, you've got somewhere around $28 million in cap space right now if you're the Predators. Now, you've got to sign Saros. Maybe Granlund's a part of that too. Like, you're going to eat up some money along the way in there. But, I mean, I look at, you know, evaluating the young players this year. If they take the steps that you want them to take and you feel good about your young core moving forward, all of a sudden you look ahead to free agency next year, there's some pretty interesting names out there. Now, one of those is your own in Philip Forsberg and Mattias Ekholm, and we'll see what happens on that front. But, I mean, you know, you look around, Colton Parayko, a free agent. Alexander Barkov, a free agent next year.
What happened to Parayko? I feel like his stock has dropped a little bit. Maybe it's because I didn't watch him last year, and I'm used to seeing him five or six times a year.
Yeah.
But like, that's not a name I've heard in a couple of years.
No. Johnny Gaudreau, a free agent next year. I mean, there are some interesting names on the free agent market next year. And I think the approach I'm probably taking, if I'm David Poile on the Predators, let's see what you got in these young guys. Hopefully they can develop and progress to what you need them to play like. I think Cody Glass and Philip Tomasino are the two most intriguing ones on that front. And if you like what you see and you feel like maybe you're closer than you originally thought to getting back into contention, maybe next year is when you dip your toe into the free agency water. The more we talk about it and the more you lay out the picture, it just doesn't make any sense to me for the Predators to be all that active in free agency this year.
No, I think, you know, they need to sign a backup goalie. And, you know, I thought another trade that happened over the weekend that we didn't mention, Alex Nedeljkovic being traded from the Carolina Hurricanes to the Detroit Red Wings. And as part of that deal, the Red Wings acquired the rights to Jonathan Bernier.
Yep.
You know, Bernier would be an interesting choice for a backup for the Predators. You know, like, look, there are always guys out there. You know, Bernier's out there if he doesn't re-sign with Carolina. Ranta's out there. Halak is out there. Carter Hutton is out there, who said he would be interested in a return to Nashville because this is where his career was born, basically. So another name that's out there on the buyout market, Braden Holtby. You know, if the Canucks buy out Holtby, who's been subpar since moving from Washington to Vancouver, but, you know, did he win a Vezina?
Yeah, I think so.
He won a Vezina. You know, he's had some great seasons. I mean, I covered Holtby at the beginning of his career in Washington. You know, maybe that's an interesting choice for a backup. You know, to me, that's the priority, is you need to find a backup goaltender for UC Saros who can play 30 games, but and you feel comfortable playing more if UC gets injured. Like, I think you need a guy with, I wouldn't say extensive starting experience, but like enough that if UC got hurt or struggled, you have another guy. Like,
yeah.
I love Carter Hutton. Carter Hutton's a great guy. I would love to have him back in that dressing room. He had some rough years. He's had some rough years in Buffalo. Like, when he first went to St. Louis, he was great.
Yeah.
And then he went to Buffalo and it was not good.
But, well, do we think that's the black hole that is the Buffalo Sabres?
I mean, that was the conversation with the Rasmus Ristolainen trade. Because, you know, the Sabres. And
Taylor Hall looked pretty good with the Bruins.
He did look pretty good with the Bruins. You wonder how Sam Reinhart's going to look with the Panthers. And, and if Jack Eichel is ever able to escape Buffalo, I'm sure he'll look great somewhere else too. So some of that has to do with Buffalo, for sure. But, like, you know, it's been a Carter Hutton, you know, is not a guy that if he had I know he did it when Pekka had his hip problem several years ago, but he was much younger then. Like, Carter is not a player that I would, if UC got hurt for a month, that I would feel really comfortable having in net for a month.
Right.
So you need to find a goalie like Mrazek, Bernier, Holtby, Ranta, who has extensive starting experience that, you know, can be that 1B.
Adam Vinion from The Athletic has been our guest for this hour here on Robbie and Rexroad. Adam, appreciate you, brother. Great stuff as always.
My pleasure. Is Joe back?
I don't know.
I guess I should stay here until Joe comes back, right?
We can try that. You want to stay? You're welcome to stay anytime you want to stay.
All right, Vinion. I'm going to stay here until Joe comes back.
We can do that. Corey Curtis from News 2 joining us up next. We'll get into Titans training camp and a whole lot more with Corey as well. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.